Today, I'm joined by Rhett Bauer, Dynasty legend. We're going to be talking about, fantasy basketball, his life away from basketball, busy family life, recent move. This is Fantasy Basketball International. This is Balls Deep.
I'm the type to get shit done. You're the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Got something loud in the blunt, yeah. Don't say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny and tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah.
That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me. And my mama's healthy.
Welcome to the Balls Deep podcast, brought to you by Fantasy Basketball International. We are back for another episode of the analyst interviews, second season. I think we tried for this last season, but it didn't work. But we're here finally. I am wearing my Pacers jumper just to commemorate this. Rhett, thanks for squeezing me into what is a very busy schedule.
Yeah, thank you for, you know, dressing the part, of course. I have to appreciate the coming in the proper uniform. I have the background, but not actually wearing it. Glad we finally got this to work out. Yeah, the last year has been crazy, and somehow it's gotten crazier. So very happy to cut out some time and chat for a bit.
Yeah, and so one of the analysts I've actually been fortunate enough to meet. So I was over in Indiana in early November last year. Mm-hmm. Lucky enough to catch three games there. We met up at one, I can't remember which game it was, the Spurs game potentially.
I think it was, yeah, because Wembanyama didn't play, but vice versa.
Yeah, no, he played, but he didn't play a lot because I think the Pacers won by 50.
That was, yes, yeah.
So, yeah. Still got to see him in person, but yeah, not for a full game, which was not totally surprising, I guess, given the trajectory of both those teams. So lucky enough to meet up there, and then we caught up a couple of days after, I think, or day after, and then went out and got some food. So so that was nice. You weren't actually living in Indiana at the time. You happened to be there. I think the stars just aligned.
Yeah, so I work fully remote and was living out in Colorado at the time. But my company is from Indianapolis, and so I had come through on a work trip, and like you said, stars crossed, and you know, if you're going to be there for work, you might as well go see a Pacers game if it's going to work out. And just so happened that you were in town at the same time, and got some food, and it's neat to finally put some names to a head and shoulders or a Discord or Twitter profile picture. It's like one of the first I think I've met in person. So it was neat.
Yeah, it was good. And I suppose we'll start there. So you were in Colorado. You're now back in Indiana. So
yes.
Sounds like the move has gone as well as expected, but is still ongoing.
Yeah, it's been almost a month exactly to the day since we closed on our house, and then we had it painted for like a week. And so we weren't living in there yet. Thankfully, we're so close to family. We actually just lived in my parents' house with four kids under seven, is quite the task. It's been as smooth as that sort of thing can be, which is to say not at all. But we're very excited to be back in Pacers country, back near so much family, and just kind of back where it all started for us as a family, but then also like Pacers fandom and all that stuff. It's pretty neat.
Yeah. And so, as I said to you off air, I can actually talk about Indiana a little bit. Now, I don't normally get to talk about the city that the person I'm talking with is in, but one of the cities I've been to, and a very interesting spot, Indiana. Mm-hmm. So I really had no clue what to expect when we went over there. And it was the last stop. So the only cities that I'd been to prior to Indiana or in America were Las Vegas, Boston, and New Orleans. Indiana is very different, very different to those three. I think for me, it was the sense of space was probably one of the things that, I don't know whether it surprised me, but it was very quiet compared to those cities. people were nice, but just really, really spaced out. Clean, very clean. It just came across as a very clean, well set up city. And then the arena itself was amazing. It was the best arena that we went to for me, in terms of you can tell that it's built for basketball. That's what it is. It's not used for anything else. Concerts, obviously, but it's built for basketball. It feels new. It feels right. So I guess for you, what is it about Indiana that you, I mean, you grew up there, you know it really well, but what is it about Indiana that you like?
Yeah, I think the space is a good description of it, because I can't stand large groups of people. Like, yep. If I go to like what people would say an actual city, I get very uncomfortable. It's just there's too many people, there's too much going on. It's just like, ugh. But in Indiana specifically, it feels like you can just walk everywhere that matters. You know, you can go from Gainbridge Fieldhouse and walk to any restaurant you could possibly want, any sports bar you could possibly want. You've got Victory Field. There's a baseball diamond for a minor league team there. You got Lucas Oil is there. Like, there's just a lot of different stuff. Even IUPUI, Indiana, Purdue, Indianapolis campus is down there, so that kind of contributes to the space a little bit, that you have a college campus just kind of injected into the middle of the city. That helps with some space and zoo and a whole bunch of stuff. I don't know, it's just it feels like my kind of city, in that people aren't actually like city people in the traditional sense, like when you think about like, oh, New York City people, it's like, yeah, like the general like attitude is not very kind to people, and I just, the Midwesterner in me enjoys common ground on that. But mostly just came back here for family. We didn't actually spend that much time in Indianapolis growing up, and especially when we got married. I mean, went to school there, but it was because we went to school there that we spent time there. We didn't hang out downtown Indy. But now that's like kind of our little escape, because we do need to escape these kids.
Yeah, you do. We obviously experienced a few different bars and restaurants, things like that. And the food was great. And we went to the zoo. And as you said, we just walked to the zoo, and it was a nice walk. You don't feel like you're on top of everyone. You can basically just wander around, and much the same here where I grew up. It's not a big city, so I don't like going to, I mean, if we look at Australia comparisons, I don't like going to Sydney or Melbourne, our bigger cities. And then likewise, I mean, New Orleans was fun, but it was too busy for me. And Boston wasn't too bad. Boston was sort of not quite as busy, but New York, like, I'm not super interested in going to New York, because I just feel like I'd feel claustrophobic. I certainly get why you like Indiana. And as you said, with the kids now, so you've got four kids under seven, so very busy, which limits, I would assume, the time that you have to do things like this, like podcasting, but like your dynasty and your fantasy basketball stuff. But how was it that pre-kids you got into, I guess, basketball, fantasy basketball, and then dynasty?
Yeah, so I actually stumbled onto fantasy basketball at a time where I wasn't paying attention to the NBA at all. I, you know, growing up in Indiana, loved basketball, but my dad, for whatever reason, he is an Illinois boy, so he grew up with Jordan. And so, you know, now modern basketball, and even 20 years ago, modern basketball is like just completely different than what he grew up with, what he was used to. And so we didn't watch a lot of NBA, watched a lot of college, and obviously played a lot, but so we didn't watch any NBA growing up at all. And I got into a Yahoo points league, an 8-team points league in Yahoo, with a couple of people from a military school I was at. And I remember very clearly, I traded Jay Crowder and I think it was Caris LeVert for Jimmy Butler. I think it was when Jimmy Butler was in Minnesota throwing his fit, and yep. I traded Jay Crowder and Caris LeVert for Jimmy Butler. And I pulled that off, and I was like, hey, this I kind of like that. And you just like keep doing that in an 18 league where you just get silly. Yeah. I didn't know who Jokic was when I started that league. And so from there, I think I started my first dynasty league that summer, and still in that league to this day. And just from there, you know, just got more involved with people like Matt Lawson of FBI, and he did his trade polls. And I bet you, if you go back, my Twitter volume from a while was almost exclusively commenting on his Twitter polls about trades. And I would just give my thoughts on them, just like looking at it from whatever perspective. And I noticed that, you know, leagues like that, when you just do regular nine cat leagues, just from randoms, they just die so quickly. But if you yeah. did dynasty leagues, they carried over. And so started doing that, and ultimately didn't even get into my analyst journey until COVID hit. And I started doing more Pacers stuff because we moved to Colorado in the middle of it, and we just had our second kid. And so we didn't have a whole lot going on. So I did a lot more Pacers stuff. And as I was doing that, I actually reached out to Dan Vespris at Hoopball Sports Ethos and yep. said, hey, you guys don't have any dynasty content. Would you like some? Like, I'll just do it. And so I did. And now here I am.
Yep. And so it's a relatively new thing for you, I suppose, the whole fantasy thing. I think Jimmy Butler, if you go back Minnesota, I feel like that was about seven years ago.
It was like 17, 18, I think is what it was.
Yeah, yeah. So all relatively new. And Dynasty, I suppose, still a little bit more niche. It's not as popular as Redraft and Roto and all that sort of stuff. But certainly I feel like every year it's gaining traction, it's gaining momentum. Mm-hmm. As you said, Matt Lawson has been a sort of a big part of the growth of that, as have you. And there's probably 6-7 other dynasty specific analysts that I'm sort of linked up with, and they're yeah. part of drafts and things like that I do. And I'm in three or four dynasty leagues now. I don't have Wemby in any of them, which is I feel like this year I'm just going to keep starting dynasty leagues until I get the number one pick, because I really want him. And yeah, but it's growing. And FBI, we do a lot in the dynasty space because of Matt.
Yeah.
I think he has about 40 leagues or something ridiculous mm-hmm. going on. It is a lot. I'm liking where Dynasty is going. I'm trying to get some of my friends that I play redraft with into Dynasty, but it's a bit of a barrier to break down, I think, for them, because it is such a long commitment. In theory, I mean, a lot of people do bail and jump ship when they figure out that they have a really bad team and
right.
it's going to be hard to rebuild. But so away from, well, family obviously is clear number one at the moment because of it needs to be. But you mentioned that your company is based in Indiana, but you were in Colorado, now back mm-hmm. in Indiana. So what is it that you do away from family and basketball?
I work in IT, information, cybersecurity. So I spend a lot of time doing that. More time than I would like, even though it's a job and they pay me to do my job, and I do my job well. And so, like, obviously that's fine. But, you know, I think as with anybody, I'd love to just do more basketball stuff. Outside of work and family, not a lot really. I was just telling my wife, it's like, I feel like I need a day off just to like be a normal human being for a little while, like just be an individual. We had our anniversary a couple nights ago and we went out to Denver and sat down. I was like, wow, nobody needs us for anything. This is crazy. Yeah. Like, I don't have to think about changing a diaper and for another couple hours. This is awesome. Mm. But when things are going smoothly, I'll play pickleball. I'll do like, I like to stay in shape, play basketball myself. But not a lot other than family, work, and basketball.
Yeah, and it does get better. So the kids don't need you as much forever. And our anniversary is coming up in a few months, but we're actually sort of starting to plan our first big trip away without the kids. So we can, in a few years, we'll be at the point where we can just go and leave them at home and not have to worry about them. So that's sort of an odd process, planning things and not having to worry about, well, what are the kids going to do and where a place that's big enough for us all to stay. And this time when they're that small, it's a time that you really have to enjoy, but it does tend to soak up a lot of your free time. And I feel like, I don't know, maybe you lose a little bit of your identity during those years because it just becomes about family and kids and that sort of thing. So you mentioned you grew up watching college basketball, not a lot of NBA. Any other sports that were sort of top of the list as part of your childhood?
I played a lot of baseball, as with most people, didn't watch a lot of baseball. Watched a good amount of football. That was most, like, it was Sundays and you go to church, you come home, you have a big old thing of goulash or hamburger helper and you watch NFL until it's time to go to bed. That was most Sundays for sure. But honestly, we spent so much time playing sports between me and my two brothers that I didn't have a team necessarily.
I just played whatever I could play really, and wherever my parents took me, I joined in and was part of it. So I guess, not a lot of time for stuff outside of kids and family, but if you think back or think forward to what life might be like in, I don't know, 5 years or I don't know what your timeline is, but movies, TV shows, are they sort of things, like, do you enjoy watching movies, you and your wife together or just you? And if so, any favorites?
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of The Office, the US version, I have to clarify considering our international audience here. I love music. I like movies. Really, I'll just sit and watch just about anything. Can't stand horror or scary or gory or anything like that. I'm not doing that at all. But anything else, I'll pretty much watch it. Romantic comedy, whatever, I don't care. I'm looking, like, travel. My wife really loves to travel, and so that is what our plan will be, because that's, you know, I am content to do things like this, is to do podcasts for basketball and watch the Pacers, you know, in the evenings. But you can't quite squeeze a trip to the beach in an evening. Like, you can't league pass a trip to Florida to get your toes in the sand. So that's typically what our plans revolve around, which is awesome, because that's usually a time where we will spend at least in some capacity without kids, which is always awesome.
The Office, something we do have in common, because I'm just about, I think I've got about 6 episodes left of watching the whole series for, I don't know, the 8th time maybe.
I think I had it on constantly on for years, for the first probably 5 years of our marriage. Office trivia was I did it once and knew too many names of Angela's cats, and I was like, I don't know if I like people knowing how much I know about this.
I think I only got into The Office late, so I didn't watch it when it aired. I only probably got into it 2-3 years ago maybe, and it sort of just very quickly entered my rotation of sitcoms along with Seinfeld and Big Bang Theory. Those three are usually just on repeat. Food wise, favorite food, and anything specific jump to mind?
No, I am probably the most boring food person on the face of the planet. I don't think I considered salt and pepper seasoning when my wife and I first got married, because my wife's, or my mother-in-law is like a Southern gal through and through. And so they would have, like, they would actually season their food, and I did not grow up with that. So I was like, man, your guys' stuff is spicy. He's like, that's not spicy, that's pepper. And so my palate is not at all refined. My wife works with me on it. She's she tries very hard to make me something other than you know, just a noodle with a hunk of meat in there. But Mexican, I haven't found a piece of pizza I don't like. Yeah, pretty basic. But
yeah, and well, yeah. You can't go wrong with basic. Right. So that's sort of all the typical stuff we cover, but I just thought, given the dynasty, and so I'll take up 5 more minutes.
All good.
Summer League is on. So this is sort of the peak time for dynasty analysts and those in dynasty leagues to be looking at whether you've had your rookie draft or not. Anything sort of, I guess, a couple of names that have stood out so far from what it's been very limited, obviously, but at this early stage, any names?
Yeah, I mean, it's sicko time, that's for sure. Like, we're talking about Enrique Freeman and Keyshawn Johnson from the Pacers and from the Heat. Like, it's late 50s pick and an undrafted guy. But no, I think the names that have been the most impressive are the ones that we expected to be impressive from the second year players, especially. Like, Jairus Walker was the best player on the court last night, which is great. Ben Shepherd struggled. I was curious to see what he would look like in that context, because he's not a player who is going to do a bunch of things for people around him. Like, if there's more focus on him, you are not going to get a great Ben Shepherd, because he's supposed to be like the fifth starter, where he's just doing good things, not doing everything. And so really good to see Jairus play as well as he did. Brandon Miller, phenomenal. Reed Shepherd, I was curious to see what that would look like, and it looked pretty darn good. I don't think there's any like anything spectacular, like granular, that I've noticed. I haven't been able to watch too much because kids, and I have to watch it on League Pass, which I haven't been able to find the replays of it yet. I guess that was something that was going around earlier today, is like, we can't watch the replays of the League Pass Summer League games, which is that sentence being formed suggests, like, what, why are you asking that, man? It's like, where are we at? It's like, you need to watch a replay of Nets Pacers Summer League basketball. But next year, hoping to be there, so hopefully we won't have to deal with that very much.
No, I think it's, as you said, names that we expected. I've just pulled up sort of some stats here. As you
Hawkins
said,
I thought, had a huge game.
He did. I thought Reed Shepherd looked good. I thought Jaden Springer looked pretty good for the Celtics today, which, to be expected. What did you think, or what are your thoughts on Oscar Tshiebwe for the Pacers? Because I like him, but I'm just I don't think I ever see him having a large role. I think he'll be a bit like a Kenny Lofton. Like, put him on in a favorable position, he's going to get stats. But I don't see him landing a significant role. Am I sort of on the ball there?
Yeah, you're on it. I think if the Pacers expected him to have a significant role, they wouldn't have signed James Wiseman for the contract that they signed him for. They probably would have had given Tshiebwe a chance at the backup big slot. But I think he's a G League All-Star. Like, he's just a stat machine. But I don't think it's like actually NBA translatable at all.
Wiseman, what's his role this year? I mean, is it, because I think we thought when they got rid of Jalen Smith that Isaiah Jackson was sort of locked in as the backup behind Turner, but then they went and signed Wiseman, and we've seen videos of him hitting threes and that sort of thing. So what do you think, that this is a good opportunity for him to sort of secure it, 18-minute role, or what are their plans here?
Yeah, so I talked with Tony East about this a couple days ago, Locked On Pacers, just about the future of the center position for the Pacers, because it's the most fascinating non-on-the-court discussion for the Pacers this season. There's the consolidation move that needs to happen, but then there's also, like, you know, what happens with Miles Turner being an unrestricted free agent? You can't extend him because he got the renegotiating extension a couple years ago. But like, for me, I think there's a non-zero chance that James Wiseman ends up the backup next year because Isaiah Jackson ends up being too expensive to warrant that with the rest of the financials for the roster. Like, I don't think James Wiseman ends up as the backup this year, but there's like, is there a chance that James Wiseman gives you 50-ish percent of what Isaiah Jackson does for 20% of the costs? Yeah. But I do think Isaiah Jackson is going to come in and immediately be the backup. He's going to get those 20 minutes, probably closer to, yeah, it'll probably be about 20. Miles at about 28, Ajax at about 20, and that's your center rotation. Maybe even cut a few off of there for Obi Toppin and Pascal Siakam at the five. But my hopes aren't high for Wiseman. His contract is darn near, I think it's only 500,000 non-guaranteed. Or 500,000 guaranteed, so they can cut him for basically nothing. But you know, I sent somebody a second round pick to get him in one of my dynasty leagues just to might as well. Yeah. But if you are holding him thinking that he will supplant Miles as the starter next year, like he'll get back to that second overall pick, you know, that is not happening.
No. And so just two more names before I let you go, who are sort of linked, I think, for me. So something that probably wasn't talked about or I didn't hear it talked about during the Pacers playoff run was the fact that Benedict Mathurin was out for a significant sort of portion of that second half of the season. I feel like they missed him quite a lot. There were moments in games where Ben Shepherd was taking the shots that I think Mathurin would have been taking. And for me, I mean, I don't know a whole lot about Ben Shepherd. You would know more being the dynasty person, but my sort of opinion of him was that he was a shooter. He was coming in, he was going to hit threes off the bench. I saw him miss a lot more than he made. I know he made a few, but I just feel like Mathurin this season needs to step up and play a pretty key role for this team, because I'm not sure Ben Shepherd's up to it. I know it was very early in his career, but what are your thoughts on both of those guys?
Yeah, I think Ben Shepherd was a rookie in the playoffs playing against some very high level competition. So I'm not as worried about, you know, his production in the playoffs being some negative indicator for him or anything along those lines. Obviously you would have liked for him to make more shots than he did, but you know, he played some pretty solid defense. I think he ends up being like ninth or 10th guy on this Pacers who's just valuable because he's on a rookie scale deal, right? He'll be useful in that way as the team gets more expensive. Benedict Mathurin, I think you'll know within the first couple weeks of the season whether he's going to be on the Pacers beyond this trade deadline or not. Because he, you know, it's one thing to be a change of pace. It's another thing to not fit in. And, you know, you're talking about Ben Shepherd missing some shots and then being the shots that Mathurin would have hit. Well, I don't know that Mathurin would have been on the floor for those because he can't defend.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think it was obviously you hate, you know, injuries happening when they do, especially, you know, knowing they were going to make that deep of a playoff run. Like, it would have been great to have some extra reserves out there and a different type of look every once in a while. But it's also like he has to be able to defend, because right now if he's going to play the two, he has to be better than Nembhard, and he's not right now. If he's going to play the three, he has to be better than Nesmith, and he's maybe a better basketball, like he does more flashy things, but like for what the Pacers need next to Halliburton and Siakam and honestly Nembhard, Nesmith is way better at that than what Mathurin is. And so, you know, if you've got TJ McConnell coming off the bench, like where is Ben Mathurin getting his touches from? And then if Ben Mathurin just keeps holding the ball when he gets it on offense, then your whole randomness, free flow, ram it down, like that kind of dies, even though he has some incredible shot making. So his development between, you know, obviously recovering from the injury, but if he can be more in the flow of the offense and show a little bit more as a defender and decision maker, not even necessarily getting more assists, because I don't think that's ever going to be his game necessarily. But like, if you can see him making quicker decisions and moving the ball and playing that more Pacers style of basketball rather than just being Benedict Mathurin out there playing and playing with the Pacers, not playing within the Pacers, that's what I'm looking for. I also just think he's a pretty easy candidate for the prime piece of the consolidation move that is to come, because the Pacers, it's going to have to be players based, especially with their salary sheet the way it is.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see if he can take that next step across a few different sort of aspects of his game. Yeah. One other guy, this will be really quick, I think, Johnny Furphy. I'm going to ask because he's Australian, and I love that he went to the Pacers and that they were able to get him that late. He looked okay, I thought, in their opening summer league game, but is there a role for him? Is he in the rotation every night? It's hard to see where he fits, but I feel like he could play a number of roles.
I don't think he's in the rotation every night, but I think he could end up in a, you know, when the Pacers were fully healthy, I'd be curious what Ben Shepherd's game log looked like, because I don't think he played very much when the Pacers were fully healthy, but he was in and out of there. And it wouldn't surprise me if the Pacers go through a stretch where Furphy plays a couple minutes here and there for some consecutive games for like 2 weeks straight or something like that. Yeah. I agree with you. I think he can play. I don't know if he can play on this Pacers team this year, but a little tidbit, he wasn't supposed to start summer league. He was supposed to be coming off the bench for summer league, and 2 weeks later he was starting summer league, which means in those 2 weeks, like it was reported or discussed or hinted at that the starting lineup would be players that were returning to the Pacers. And 2 weeks later, Johnny Furphy was in the starting lineup. So he must have been lighting it up in practice and behind the scenes, because I think the Pacers, and we kind of saw it last year with Jarris, right? They make their rookies earn it. I think, you know, Mathurin had the rookie year he did coming off the bench, and they started him, which was the right decision. But they very quickly put him back on the bench, too. Like, they do not – they're here to win. And so if Furphy earns it, then he'll be out there. I don't know where that's going to come from. And he might be a guy who gets bumped up with injury, or if that consolidation happened mid-trade or mid-season. So I'm really curious to see what he looks like.
Yeah, and I think you bang on there, because if you think back 12 months coming into last season, there was discussion amongst fantasy sort of, or in fantasy circles, whether Obi Toppin or Jarris Walker would be the starter. Yep. And it was clearly Toppin, because Walker barely played. So that sort of lines up with what you said there about the rookies having to earn their minutes and earn their role. And he did play a little bit more down the stretch, but that's when they were dealing with some injuries and that sort of thing. So I think you're right on there. So, I'm going to let you jump out of here. Where can people find you? What have you sort of got going on in the free time that you do have?
Yeah, the spare seconds that I can find in between trying to get some sleep. Yeah. No, find me on Twitter at @Rhett_Bauer. I have a Patreon. I had some subscriber content on there for a little while. I've been pausing the subscriptions because I've been moving across the country with a bunch of kids, and that is not pleasant. If you have to do it, it's good, and we're very glad to be here. But boy, it sucks. This whole process sucked. Yeah. So I'm working on a couple things right now that I'll be posting for free. I'm actually going to be on, I think, with Dan Vespers sometime in the next week.
You mentioned your name, so I think you're coming up soon.
Yep. So happy to be on the Old Man Squad podcast network and see what that is. Love talking with Dan, and just appreciate you having me on and finally getting to get this done. I know it's been quite a while.
Yeah, no. Thanks again for squeezing me in. And I'm sure I'll have you on during the season. I'll be doing sort of four episodes a week or something. So we'll find time to have you on and talk Pacers and see where they're at. Remember to like and subscribe if you're watching along. Thumbs up, all of that stuff. It helps us grow. I will be back with another analyst interview very soon. These will be sort of released post-recording, but we'll have quite a few of them. So remember to check all of them out and jump back and check out all of my interviews from last season as well. There are a few good ones in there. So thanks again for tuning in. Until next time, catch up.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at FBI Basketball.